Yo,
Yo,
we saying you could?
good mate. How are you?
I'm all right, a bit flustered and stressed. I'm good though, I'm good. I'm here.
That's
What are you
cool.
saying?
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit under the weather to be honest, but I couldn't postpone, so I'm powering through, mate.
It's all right, it's all good. We'll keep it short and
No,
sweet.
I'm up for it, man. I'm up, man.
That's cool, man. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. How you been? You all right though, yeah?
Yeah,
Not
good.
yeah, cool. All right, first off, set it off. We're gonna talk about what we've been listening to recently in the past week. So what have you been listening to? What have you been checking out?
What have I been listening to last week? I've been really enjoying Billy Woods lately. His project, Ethiopes. I've been listening to that, so a lot of Billy Woods. Yeah, man, that's been me the last week.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's solid. Plugged into that, yeah,
Plugged into
digested.
that. Whenever people ask me what I've been listening to, I always like panic and like have to go look back through my stuff. But
In the
yeah.
Spotify,
What
who's
about
Billy Woods? Can you tell me who this person is, just so people know out there, and just so I know as well, because I'm
Yeah. Billy
tuned.
Woods, he's like I think he's from Zimbabwe, but then like lives in he raised in New York. He's got a
Okay.
group, Armand Hammer, with Elucid. They did an album with Alchemist.
Oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Armand Hammer. I think I've heard Armand Hammer.
Yeah.
Armand Hammer. Yeah, I've heard them. Yeah.
But
Okay, cool.
his writing is just crazy. He's super vivid and great storyteller. Like, yeah, just get a lot of.
Cool. So that's one to check out then. Sometimes I always like struggle in the morning to think of like what to listen to on the way to work. And it's always a struggle, and sometimes you always get into that what is it? I get stuck in a Griselda rut, so if I can't find anything, I'll just listen to Griselda all the time.
Staples, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of them. But yeah, I've been checking out a lot of your stuff recently. I've been listening to Mosic Rhymes dropped a new project called Gateway to India, a nice like 5-track EP. I enjoyed that. Obviously, that was good.
Yeah,
Like,
he's
yeah, production by him. Some featuring Sonny Jim. Yeah, he smashed up. Well done. Big up to him. Who else have we checking? I've gone blank as well now.
yeah.
Who else? Who else? Juggernaut's new album as well.
Sick. Yeah, that's on my to listen to list for sure.
I think I've got about 4 or 5 tracks in, but I need to carry on listening to it to obviously digest it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's cold.
But it's interesting the way that like you. I've been digesting Billy Woods over like a week, and I've just been like henpecking all the stuff. It's different. How do you feel about the different ways people digest their music?
Yeah, I think I'm very much like albums guy. Like if I'm getting into something, I'll just like listen to it kind of repetitively. I don't know, I dissect it maybe for a few weeks or a month. I mean, I don't just listen to that, you know. I like to put on some of the radio, you know, listen to some radio shows and like,
Yeah.
you
What
know,
should I check out?
like I like Semi B. So
Oh no, we've got the glitch going on.
well,
Oh, hang on, back, you're back, you're back.
yeah, Sammy B side, Moriarty has a dope show on Bellamy. And then yeah, like some different NTS shows and like J Rock has a dope radio show and like I try and listen to them because it's sometimes yeah, it's cool to have like, you know, people whose ear you trust to like put you onto stuff, you know.
Do you think that's like an old school thing, keeping
Yeah.
it like keeping it traditional by listening to radio shows and stuff like that? Because I knew radio was a massive thing for me when I was growing up. Obviously, I think if you were closer to London, you were kind of more familiar with like the pirate radio stations. I wasn't, because I lived in Bournemouth. I'm from the coast. So
Right.
we only kind of everything was word of mouth, but we always had the Westwood shows on the Friday and the Saturday night. So it was always, if you wanted to get your fix, you'd go there to hear the songs you might hear about in the source or something like that. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I think it's an old school thing, but it's cool that people are still doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, everyone's got a different way to listen to music, but yeah, just Yeah, that's how I listen to stuff. I kind of just get into an artist and sort of try and delve into their world and dissect it.
I want to get into like your influences and who your early influences were, because like obviously you can tell you got an accent. It's obvious the fact that you say in a lot of your rhymes as well where you're from, where you come from. Like, you know, one of the first things I heard of one of your albums, listening to it the other day, was you say you're from Adelaide, innit? So that straight away. So what's your story? Like, how did it all happen?
I mean, I'm from Adelaide, South Australia. Still have an older brother. He's like 13 years older than me, and he was like, had the crazy hip hop collection. So I was very lucky. Just in the bedroom next to me, there was like every album from the 80s and 90s you would want to get into was there. All the Source mags, and he would put on events, and I just got into it kind of through that. And you know, mates were into Graf, and you know, then would go to the record stores eventually, try getting into DJing, and just meeting the community. And I guess, you know, it's Australia, like hip hop there was very niche subculture. So, and Adelaide's like a smaller city again. So you end up meeting everyone. Well, not everyone, but you know, like a lot of the people in the community, makes it tight knit. So yeah, I was like freestyle battling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I first started, I was like 13 doing battles. In clubs as a teenager, and like, yeah, it was an experience. I look back at it now, it's like a lifetime ago. But
so what year would that have been then, roughly?
Like 2003.
That's I done the same thing, but I'm a little bit older. So yeah. I think 2003 was the same thing. It was about the freestyle battle raps going into clubs, and then just saying the most like outlandish shit. And it was, thing is, it's quite difficult when you're starting out as it's difficult as a person as you are now, do you know what I mean? To get up in front and think off top, do you know what I mean? And do it to a point where you're crushing someone. You have to be really sharp with it. But doing it back then, especially at an early age that you were saying, like 13, that's nuts.
It was such a healthy scene actually in Adelaide. The crazy battle rap, like this guy Motion, he was just insane, you know. And you'd go to these battles anticipating like just a high level, you know. And freestyling was, I feel like it was so popular at that point. It was like Super Nat, Juice, like the Scribble Jam battle,
100%, yeah.
And like you know, a lot of the like independent, like Def Jook stuff, and like it was all like, they were all heavy into freestyling. So I feel
very much. Scribble Jam videos were the one I remember, because you could watch like Sage Francis battle, I don't know, Brother Ali or something, and Idea, and you know, all those, and you could see all those battles. They were inspiring at the time, and all the shit.
Yeah.
And you know, I can still remember some of the punches, the punchlines from those fucking battles. They're crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Acrobatic and stuff.
Acrobatic. Yeah, exactly. Mr. Lift was even in some of them, and then
then
all the LA guys, like the Freestyle Fellowship.
But it makes you buzz, innit? And when you see people do that, and I think the mentality of young rappers back then is, you had to, it's not enough just to make songs. You have to, like I've said it before in the podcast, you have to earn your stripes, innit? So how important was that for you to get out there? How important was it?
Yeah, so important, man. It like, yeah, really, it helps you cut your teeth, build your confidence, get your confidence broken.
Oh, 100%. You know? Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Like, I definitely, you know, I won a number of the battles, but I definitely lost, like, you know, lost my share as well. And it's, it was all just healthy competition and sport, really. And everyone in the community was quite, like, interactive. And,
supportive as well, do you know what I mean? I suppose.
Yeah, so it just made for like a interesting sort of scene and movement. But yeah, as I wanted to start making records, I like stepped away. You know, I wanted to just, because I always thought about, you know, how the battle rappers, a lot of them didn't make like great albums.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just focus on that, you know.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'll come back to that in a minute, but have you ever heard yourself battle, like the older battles? Have you heard them back at all from back in the day?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got a VHS tape of.
How'd you feel about them now, looking back on it?
Man, it's cool. You know, it's part of the story. It's part of the history. Like, that's obviously, right, right. Some of it. You know, I don't watch. It's not like I'm running the tape back every week.
No, no, of course not. Of course
reminiscing not. On the old days, but
yeah.
No, it's cool to like see that part of the
story. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's like history. It's like a brick in the road. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
On your way there. Getting back to the making out things. Why do you think it's like so difficult for like battle rappers to make that transition from battle rap to kind of artist, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess it's like, it's a mindset battle rapping, you know, it's like very much, it's like, it's a certain world, and it gets like, you have to dig into a different part of inspiration and that to be songs, I think, and like coming up with concepts and, yeah, when you're absorbed in that world, it's like it's difficult to sort of step out of it. And yeah, because you just your whole thing just crushing someone else, and like for me it's not like the motivation, like when trying to write a song, you know. Obviously there's influence in songs and there's flexing, but it's like I think you need to go. Yeah, I think you need to explore like different things to.
I think battle rap can almost be quite stressful, isn't it?
Yeah,
like because you're writing. You know, when you watch, for example, if you watch like a Don't Flop battle or a King of the Dot or something like that, you as an MC, you watch them and you think those rounds go on for a while. Do you know what I mean? And to write that much, perform that well, times by three, and have the extra as well in case it goes over. That's a lot of writing. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And like, I've always thought to myself, you know, like I could do it, but I couldn't sustain it, I don't think. Do you know what I mean?
They're crazy talented. I mean, when I kind of stopped was like 2006, and I think like at that point the a cappella written stuff was really taking, and it just wasn't. Yeah, that's just wasn't what I was doing. You know, it was more freestyle of beats when I was doing it. So it's a whole different skill set and an approach. Yeah, man, you have to be invested in it to like yourself, anyone doing it, like a sport or anything, you know.
It's hardcore, like it is it's like the name suggests, it's a battle, do you know what I mean? It's a war and you've got to be on point constantly.
Yeah.
I think with your music, like, it's mad you saying that you come from a battle rap background, because your music is the opposite. It's so chilling and so relaxed. Content-wise, it's a bit different, but like the delivery is calm, the beat selection is chilling, do you know what I mean? So it's interesting you've gone from the battle side of things.
Yeah. I think like all my favorite rappers are definitely the ones with like a chiller voice, you know. And maybe, you know, I was a teenager just discovering my voice, who I was as a person, as an artist, as a rapper. I think maybe I was trying to over push my you know, it takes years to find your voice. And I think like once I was comfortable in like, oh, I'm not having to battle, like I can use my voice a different way. Yeah, I could lean into like my natural voice. Not that I wasn't being natural, but you have to come with a certain energy when you're
back. Yeah, 100%. And sometimes you don't feel yourself. Like, yeah. you could be too low. You could, you know, I've done records myself where it's like I should have been up here as opposed to there.
Yeah.
And you kind of, yeah, but again, like you said, it's all part of the process and just experimenting and finding yourself and finding your comfortable spot. But I think obviously the music you made, you've nailed it, really. It's like honestly, like I was flicking today, I just, because obviously I was at work and I had it on playing in the background. It's just, it's so comfortable and easy to listen to, and I could tell as well, like, the influences. I think we're of a similar age. I might be a bit older, but yeah. I could hear the influences. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah. Like I could tell that you'd listen to the same stuff I'd listen to. Like, I could chuck some names out there and you'd probably agree that you were influenced by those people.
Who do you think? Do you think?
Like, Ghostface?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the raucous guys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Underground type of heads. Just stuff of that kind of era, because it makes sense to me. Do you know what I mean? That kind of late and like Common maybe. Those types of that type of vibe as well. Because I was getting like you said, you know, there's really chilled out, relaxed vibe, but there's like the flexing is on point as well.
Thank you.
Also, and the way you construct your bars is not always that rhyme. Sorry, like it, you kind of wordplay and bounce back and forth, and it overruns and over, and it's interesting to hear. Thank all the rappers out there appreciate it.
Nah, that's I know people do, and that, but it's like. It's even better to hear when like a rapper like is hearing it.
So who was your influences? So you had the American guys. What about your Australian type of guys? Who was big? Like top of my head, I can only think of one Aussie rapper, and I'm not even sure I can validate him me saying his name because I may have heard one song. Like Brad Strutt.
Yeah. I mean Brad Strutt for sure. Growing up, like his group Lyrical Commission. Was a big influence, like Trem, Bob Balance, and Brad Strutt, and Jay Red was the DJ. They were sick, you know, like Prowler, like he's another legend. Like had a label called Nuff Said out of Melbourne.
Mm.
A lot of the early hip hop records in Australia in the '90s, you know, and then Delta, he was another great freestyle MC. Still incredible rapper, but at that point,
I remember that guy actually.
Yeah, he did an album with Mark B.
The Lost Australian, that one.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, that was hard. Yeah, I remember that.
There was like, that was it. You know, discovering my brother didn't have heaps of a lot of Australian rap. Like he had a lot of DJ mixtapes, so I'd hear some there. But yeah, that was a big thing discovering that. Hip hop was getting made in Australia.
So, what's the scene like in Melbourne? What's that like? Is that because I've never been to Australia? I ain't gonna lie, I've got family out there, but I've never visited. I need to though. But I know Melbourne's got something. I think, obviously,
Melbourne's a great city, man. Crazy graffiti history and music culture. Yeah, the hip hop that's come out of there's been great. You know, so there's like. Definitely a big culture of hip hop out of Melbourne.
Where do you think the hub is in Australia? Where's like the central location? If you said hip hop in Australia, where would you point to?
Like now, I mean it's Melbourne, but it's hard to say. I should say Adelaide. That's my hometown.
Got support. The home team. But
Sydney, you know, Sydney's got so much like drill and like different, you know, like Sydney's really like pushing a lot of stuff, so you know, Sydney and Melbourne are the big cities, but like Brisbane has so many artists as well coming out, so I think it's like it's kind of spread, but yeah, you do think of Melbourne, I think, just because the history of like the labels that come out of Melbourne, the graffiti artists, you know, yeah, you do think of that, but every city's putting in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's more widespread now, isn't it? I suppose like it's more global. But I think back in the day, you obviously here you'd say London. I think obviously, but then you could say that, but then you could point to Bristol, you could point to like Manly or Sheffield or anywhere like that, and they were still doing things. So how do you compare the two scenes? How do you compare them?
UK and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a lot of similarities in some ways. Like I can, maybe because we grew up on a lot of UK rap as well. I think a lot of Australians like really related to that.
Why do you think that was? Do you think that's because of the production aesthetic, or because the I don't know what could it be?
Maybe just, I mean, it's culturally different. Obviously, London isn't, or like UK isn't Australia, but maybe, you know. We grew up with all the British TV shows, all the comedies,
like
football, cricket, different things are just like connected a bit. Yeah. And obviously, yeah. Australia was like, you know, England colonized, and, you know, we have an undeniable connection to England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think, like, maybe the accent and just the sound that was coming out of UK was really popular, like, you know, Jest, Task Force, The Life Cypher, all of that stuff was like really big growing up, you know. But yeah, the differences in the scenes and the music, yeah, I think it is. It's quite a similar community sort of spirit, the underground movement, and yeah, I can relate to it, I think, in some ways, you know.
So do you think, I mean, we got a real healthy scene here, obviously, but the growth isn't mainstream. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there is some sort of, it's big, it's massive. People love UK hip-hop, the people that have tapped into it, obviously. Do you think, is there a similar type of growth in Australia? Is there, like, we're going to talk about this all day, but is there, like, a similar type of thing where it's not, where the hip-hop is not kind of seen as marketable, if you know what I mean? We have this debate a lot.
I think that's probably a thing. I don't know what that is. I guess some things break into the mainstream and have their time where, like, mainstream culture is up for it and wants to hear a certain sound, and then it goes in waves. But it's like hip-hop is always going to be, part of it is its subculture factor. Not, you know, the sounds are not necessarily going to be like digested by the mainstream, but sometimes, you know. Yeah, so there's definitely some artists that have broke through to a bigger scale in Australia, but, like, I think with that, you know, a different sort of sound to maybe what we listen to is what's getting played. But
yeah, it's interesting. It's a weird one still. I think the split divide heads, you've got, it divides people because you've got, like, a traditional sound and you've got, like, a sound that's not so it's more like, you know, aligned or attuned with that, like, Griselda type of sound, and more the harder edge. And some people, I don't know, they don't kind of mix all the time. And then you've got the grime stuff, and then you've got the drill stuff. And then,
yeah.
And then it's so diverse. But I think rap itself is not a genre. It's a discipline. It's a skill that you can use. You know what I mean? And however you use it and interpret it, it kind of feeds into
exactly
the genre you use. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's always gonna. I don't know, but I think it's always gonna be something people love. Like, I mean, yeah, whether people like his new albums or not, the fact Nas is putting out, like, King's Disease albums and the, like, they're well regarded, and you know, I always say this, it's like Kendrick is still the biggest artist, you know, really.
Okay, what's your opinion on Kendrick as an MC? What's your...
I think he's amazing, man. Yeah, personally.
Yeah, so I completely agree. Like, yeah. I think all of his projects are like movies. They're pieces of art and cinema, and, like, they're perfect to engage to. If you're really locked into it, you're in an experience. You're in an experience.
Yeah, he's a master, man, of, like, creating worlds. What he does with his voice, like, the risks he takes with his songwriting. And to me, I just look at, like, yeah, he's huge. Like, people still want to hear, like, rapper, you know, because he still spits. And and yeah, like Griselda, like, you know, people like Drake and that talk about Griselda, and, like, I think in this day and age, playlisting and the way people consume music, you know, coming back to that, I think there's more bleed than maybe we realize, you know? Like, I think a lot of these big artists are tapped in, you know, and just, like, looking at how big a group like Griselda's gone, a label like that, is a testament to that in some ways, you know.
I think their marketing is crazy in terms of physicals. They've turned everything into a collector's item and a special edition.
Yeah, they've nailed that, you know.
And, And like, if you could turn everything into collective, you're going to sell out wherever you drop.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very smart with their business, you know, and that's part of it too. You know, it's, you have to be savvy about that stuff.
Yeah. They've never, I think people could learn a lot from that business model. Obviously, it's not always going to, you're not going to get it right because you're not on their platform, you know, on that, on the same level as their platform, but it's definitely something key. How do you feel about, you know, physical sales and selling physicals and streaming and digital media? What's your take on it?
In what way?
In a sense that, like, do you think because it's, music is so readily available now, people kind of sleep on the physicals or not?
Yeah, I try not to be negative about any of it, because it's like, the industry is where it's at. This streaming model's here. Like, you know, people don't have to, they don't have to fork out their hard earned if they don't want it, you know, like, whether we agree with that or not, that's where the industry's at. Like, they've made it that people can consume music for like $9 or pounds a month. So when people want to show support and buy records and merch and that, I think it does show that people want to support artists that they appreciate. But yeah, I'm just like, for me, I'm grateful that people want to like be a part of, like, if they want to buy my records and merch and they want to be a part of the, of that world and supporting what I do, or it's the same for me when I buy someone's music, you know. I think musicians can get really, or artists can get really down about it and negative. And yes, like, there's a lot of frustrations, but like, we have to see that the positive is that there are a lot of people that do support, you know, still. And there's music lovers, you know, who still care.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's like, people want the collectible.
Yeah.
But I think, and it's, I know there's people of our mindset who are from who are old that appreciate the fact that we used to go into CD shops, we used to get the CDs and you'd look through the shout outs and you'd look through whatever else is at the photo shoots and stuff. And I remember, I've told a story before, but I remember I had Iron Man on CD. I've still got the CD to this day. I bought it when I was like 16 or something. And I remember going into like an Our Price and I saw the Iron Man vinyl and I opened it up or whatever, because I think it's a double. And I saw the extra pictures on it. And I was like, right, there's more stuff on this. And I was gassed. I couldn't afford it. I was just like, oh, man, like, they get more. This is unfair. I'm going to start buying vinyls. And even though I'm fucking
home,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly. You got all those extra bits.
And yeah, yeah.
I think now we've got so much overconsumption of, like, those extra bits. You know, people are buying every day. Like, there's no that... the enigmatic factor of the artist is kind of not as, you know, some people can curate it in a good way, like a Mac Homie or like, you know, Madlib, or certain artists know how to keep that mystique. But in a lot of ways, we are like oversaturated with like the lives of the artists that we...
That kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult because I think, you know, artists are very... can be very insular, kind of to themselves and stuff, unless you see them at a show and you interact with them or something, or see them on a video. And there's nowadays, there's heroes that you see growing up, or you saw growing up, and now you follow them on Instagram and they're just silly old men posting memes all the time. Or
yeah, yeah.
And it's not like, and that kind of, you kind of feel let down by it.
A little bit, but yeah, I think that plays into like the buying the physical stuff, and yeah, it's a different world, but
it's a different time. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But
embrace it. I think it's cool, you know. I think it's like, you know, people want to still be engaged with I think it was like Brian Eno you know, he's like the ambient producer UK.
Yeah.
He's always got interesting takes on music and culture. Like, he's very opinionated, but he talks about it like, you know, it's not about like one person. It was always about scenes. He called it like seniors. So it's like you want to, I think humans naturally want to be engaged in a community, and that's still the case now online. It just feels a bit different, but I think buying merch and physical that is still a way of, like, connecting to your, yeah, this is my community. Like,
I met a guy on the weekend in Bristol. We had a show in Bristol, and he was so enthusiastic about the fact that he had a Leaf Dog tape. I'm not sure who it was. It was like a collab album. Yeah. He was over the moon. He had this tape.
He was
going into one, and I'm like thinking, bro, calm down, bro. Like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's cool, though. People were into it like that. Do you know what I mean?
That's sick. I mean, I'm definitely still into collecting that. Like, I think just, yeah, that's it. That excitement, that, you know, there's worse things you could spend your time doing, you know?
Yeah, no, trust. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Much, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, physicals are always going to be something that people should gravitate to. I think, like CFAX said once, he said that Spotify is like a marketing tool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I read something about it, like, just treat it like the radio almost, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that might seem a bit defeatist. You know, some artists are really like, fuck Spotify. And, you know, I understand the frustrations, but yeah, I'm just trying to see it like, that's just my like radio. If you want to tune in to me there, you can. But like, there's this whole other, you know, whole other connect with people who like music.
So I want to get into like, your whole, how did you come to the, when did you come to the UK, and how did that all kick off over here? Like, what was the deal with that?
Yeah, so I was working with a French producer called New Tone, and we did an album together, and we were in France, and then Harves from Brighton and said, you know, you want to come and do a show in Brighton? So I was like, yeah, cool, like, love to. I'd never been to the UK, so myself and New Tone went there, and Mr. Slips from been shown my music from a friend in Australia who he was collaborating with. So he was like, yeah, come and stay at mine while I was there. So I stayed with Slips, met a lot of the people in Brighton. Yeah, man, that was kind of, the rest is history. Like, stayed on hanging out with Slips, and we just connected and yeah, finished this, you know, made this album together. And then, you know, we showed it to Flip Trix. And, you know, in that period, Verbs and Slips had been signed to High Folk. And then, so we showed him the album, and, you know, Flip Trix wanted to put it out. And so, yeah, it was like, made sense for me to move to the UK. I thought, may as well go for the opportunity, you know.
Wow, it just blew up off of that. Just that simple chance. Chance meeting.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'd say I've blown up, but
no, but you got to think about it. Like,
you're
doing what most British artists don't do. Do you know what I mean? Like, you come over from another country and you jump straight on High Focus.
Yeah, no, crazy. Yeah, man, it really was like that. It's like, you don't, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's like, you have to just keep pushing, you know. Like, I remember sending an email to High Focus like 5 years ago with my album with Must Volkov, a producer in Melbourne I work with, and you know, I was like submitting it, and then they, you know, and they were like, oh, you know, Must, I can't remember what they said, they're like, we're not looking to sign anyone now, but like, thanks for sending. And it's just funny how, you know, like, years down the line, you kind of, I try not to be attached to results so much. You just sort of keep doing the work. And Slips and I just made the album, and we were passionate about it, and that, yeah, you know, opportunities happen. And yeah, so I was definitely, you know, super grateful for the opportunity and the support, you know, from High Focus.
It's wicked, man, honestly. Like, yeah, the music is just blown up. It's good to see, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, what's being on High Focus like? What has it allowed you to do as an artist?
Yeah, it's been great, man. It's given me, obviously, a really great platform for like the UK music and hip hop scene. They're very like engaged with your, you know, your ideas and how you want to roll things out and everything. You know, the communication's awesome. So it's just allowed like those different opportunities to open up and like advice. You know, it's just cool to like get advice from these artists who've been doing it for 10 plus years and like just trying to tap into that that knowledge there. And yeah, very supportive, you know, like great conversations. And yeah, it's just like quite often I'm like doing every single part of the admin end of a release, you know, which I still do now for so many releases. But it's like, you know, planning everything, videos and the art and uploading and organizing, you know what it's like. It's like so much. So in some ways it's nice to like have a label like High Focus that can take care of a lot of that stuff. Is kind of relieving, you know, to just have someone send the email, here's that, that's, you know, like, you know, that kind of thing is just, it's nice as an artist to like.
So do you have to like say if you're doing a tour or something like that, would you have to go out of your way to find yourself some gigs if you dropped a new thing, or would the label just pump, like just say, oh, we got this guy over here, shout him or do that, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, bits and pieces, like, you know, getting the High Focus parties, like obviously they put us on for that. But no, I'm definitely still, yeah, I'm still like grinding to get my own shows, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, I've got to like, I think it's like any opportunity or position you're in, it's like you have to meet it. You have to meet it with a certain energy as well. Mm-hmm. Can't just be like, yeah, I'm on, and just sit on your hands and think. I know you weren't assuming that, but I think like, it's made me realize, oh, actually, I just need to go twice as hard now. And yeah, trying to finding shows and opportunities and like use this platform, but still keep the mindset that I've had, you know.
You still got work to do type thing.
Oh yeah, lots of work.
Yeah. Do you know, I think as an artist, I don't think it ever stops.
No.
It doesn't matter what you're doing, you're always writing, you're always thinking of the next move. And sometimes it can be to your detriment because you end up sitting on a lot of material, do you know what I mean?
True. So no, I want to get more shows, you know, like I'm trying to like push that and yeah, try and, it's a lot, you know, as any independent artist knows, you have to, it's almost like more emailing than like music, you know, in the end. But it's part of it.
Where's your favorite place to play?
Like in the UK?
Yeah, in the UK.
I had a great time in Manchester.
Yeah.
Manchester was sick. I don't know why, I just like had a cool energy.
Yeah. What was that? Was that part of a High Focus thing, or was it a solo?
We were supporting Jest on his tour there.
Okay, cool.
So that was, yeah, that was just a cool experience, and like to be able to play there.
Mm.
Always have Brighton is fun. Mm. Yeah. So you know.
You play Bristol?
I played Bristol once for the High Focus party, and that was fun for sure. But I want to do, I feel like my experience in like shows here is limited. You know, I've had like one show in a handful of cities. So I want to experience, I got more experience, I think, ahead, you know, to really get to know cities.
Yeah. Of course. Have you gone back home to play at all?
Not since I moved to the UK. Yeah. I haven't been able to get back, but I was back home for like a year before I moved, and I was doing a lot of shows there, so.
Yeah. Do you think that was due to COVID or anything like that, or?
Yeah, it was probably a bit of that.
Fuck dear if I'm not.
Yeah. But, you know, in a weird way, it got me this opportunity as well, because I kind of got stuck in UK for like 6 months when I was visiting, because all the flights were stopped. But in that period is when Slips and I really worked and got like a lot of the stuff done for the album.
That's interesting. Going back to what you said about the labels supporting you and stuff like that. Obviously, you saw like that kid working with like Conway and Rock Marciano and stuff like that. Who's like some people that are on your list of like to work with, producers or MC?
People I'd like to work with. Oh man.
If you were allowed some features from High Focus, if you allowed two features for the next thing, for the next album or something.
Like anyone or UK or...
Anyone.
Yeah.
You can have honourable mentions too, it's fine.
Honourable, yeah. I mean, I'd love to do a song with Slick Rick, you know.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's pretty a pipe dream. That would probably cost like 30 grand, wouldn't it? But
yeah, trust me. Someone spoke about getting him over for a gig.
Yeah.
And his rider was like a hotel room with X amount of champagne and private cars to take him from places to place. And then something for his missus. Or it was mental. It was like, no, can't do that, mate.
I'd love to work with Alchemist would be a dream to rap on some stuff, on some Alchemist production.
How do you think he produced you? Like, because we had a conversation the other week and we were talking about the Rock Marciano album and how... He adapts. Do you know what I mean? Like he does a Bronson album, it sounds like Bronson shit. He does a Rock Marciano, it sounds like that. Do you know what I mean? Would you like some old classic raw Alchemist shit, or would you like something that's more catered to your aesthetic?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that would be the dream. If you could be in the same room, or like he could really get an ear of about what you're doing and to hear him, because he does that so well. Like you listen to the album with Arm and Hammer, he's really like gone into the world, and like that would be I'd like to, that would be a dream to work like that. But yeah, I'd love to do a song with Klavnikov, you know.
It might be difficult to get hold of him. He's hard work apparently.
Yeah, there's lots of artists I'd like to work with out there, but there's some that spring to mind.
Yeah, off top. So you didn't really, well, you mentioned Alchemist.
Oh, Alchemist, Slick Rick. What rappers? I love Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
That'd be a good fit actually, sonically, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think if we found something left field, we could, you know, that would be amazing. Rock Marciano would be dope. They're the first few that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Talking about big features, this is like, well, random that we worked this out, but it's kind of, I suppose it was meant to happen. Obviously, today you dropped a single.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the single that dropped today and who features? Yeah,
the single is Carte Blanche, features Planet Asia, like from Cali Agents. So super psyched on that one. Producer from Canada that I linked up with a few years back when I was living in the States. He kind of arranged that through his work on his label, and got Planet Asia involved on the track. And so that's taken from this new EP I've just put out called A Scenic Glitch. And
And that's out now on High Focus, right?
No, it's not High Focus.
No.
Big Bob, his label, Elite Sound.
So shout out to them. So you can grab the physicals of that right now, right?
Yeah. Some tapes, vinyl, CD, and then streaming.
I couldn't find it today. Well, I'll look for it.
Oh, you couldn't find it? Yeah, no.
I'll look for it today. Don't worry. Spotify can be a fuckery sometimes, so don't watch that. It's fine.
Exactly. So, nah, man, I was gassed on that. So,
Is there anybody else that features on it at all?
Yeah, there's Milano, Constantine, then AG, So, yeah, man.
So how did all these collaborations work out? Was it very much like internet based, where it's just verse and verse, and then just jump in the booth? And...
Yeah, I mean, I know Milano and G really well, like from when I was living in the States, and I've done have done songs with them before.
What? So wait. So you lived in America for how long? Did you live in America for?
Like 3.5 years.
Oh shit! Where was you? Where was you living?
I was in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was mad. Like, worked with this label, Red Apples 45, which was started by Ray West and AG. And yeah, we just I made a lot of music with Ray. And yeah, that's kind of how I got to meet AG, which was insane because he was always like one of my favorite.
Yeah, 100%. What year was that roughly when you was there?
When I was there, it was like 2017 to like 2020-ish.
That's mad. Is that when did he drop an album then?
AG.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like with Red Apples, with the label with Ray, he did a number of things. So. Yeah, man.
That's mad. Just moving with AG and stuff like that. So you had a decent relationship. That just goes to show it's just networking, isn't it? Networking is so important.
I mean, we supported him in Australia, me and my DJ producer Despair that I put out music with years ago, supported AG, you know, on his Australian tour. So we got to meet him there. And then Ray West, who's like ran Red Apples, just heard, you know, from seeing like the photos and that online, and then he checked my stuff and he was like, I want to send you beats, you know, and then it was just like, shit, like, the opportunities just happen, man. It's like really blessed, and like from all the hard work and just like got to take these moments. And sometimes
it sounds like, you know, like your career so far has been a lot of hard work and good luck, right place and the right time as well.
Yeah, I like, I always reference that saying, you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, hard work makes opportunities. I was gonna say,
you know. So I feel like it's been a lot of that, but yeah, it's come with a lot of like sacrifice, as anyone who works on music knows, like, or being on the road, missing a lot of family events and, you know, definitely a lot of time not socializing, you know, because I was working a 9-to-5 in Australia and then would just go to the studio on the weekends, or I'd be DJing, or, you know, and like, sometimes in those moments you can question it and be like, man, like, I've really like just given like so much of my life to this. But then like the opportunities come and you're like, you know, it's not in vain, and you know, it's what I want to do. No one's holding a gun to my head and saying
no, of course,
you know. It's like I love music. I wouldn't want to do anything else really, like. Yeah,
smashing it, man, smashing it. So that's out now, man. I need to look for that. But yeah, props, mate. Honestly, yeah, you keep doing your thing and stuff. I'm checking real quick if Tom added more questions, because
I think it's good for me to not think of, you know, I was in a bit of a slump. I was like just getting pissed off that I was feeling sick, so good for me to just take my mind off it.
I suppose it's a good boost to your ego as well. Do you know what I mean? cheer you up a little bit.
Thanks, mate. It's just
stop thinking about how great you are. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, nah, big up, man. Like, you're killing it, obviously. Do you know what I mean? A lot of hard work. Music is obviously, is, you know, 10-10 all day. Like, you know, I need to listen to it more, if I'm honest. And I will do. And I'll bump it to other, show it to other people.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope people check it. But yeah, it's always appreciated. Yeah, I haven't, like, that's it. I don't feel like I haven't hit the massive level, but I've got like a really solid, like, people who listen and check stuff, and yeah, I really appreciate it, you know.
Well, you know, I just think that you're always going to be looking up there somewhere to be somewhere else, but I think that nailing your aesthetic and nailing your craft.
Yeah.
The main thing, do you know what I mean? And you've done that, so do you know what I mean?
Right.
So you smashed it either way, and you work with some big people. So.
I'll retire.
Yeah, that's it. See you later. I'm done. This is your closing interview, first and last interview on Shotgun the Orcs exclusive. But yeah, man. It's all right. Yeah, it's cool. It's been good talking to you, mate. Honestly, like, I'm glad we got to do this. Glad we got some
again.
God, do it again sometime.
For sure, got to catch up.
Yeah, man. Hopefully in person or something. Obviously, we can come link a show or something in London, or whatever else, or whatever.
Yeah,
we'll hook it all up. But yeah, good talking to you. Yeah. And I'll chat to you again. We'll get
thanks for your time, man. Like, yeah, it's appreciated.
You got anything you want to pick up or anybody, apart from the new EP, anything else you want to say while you got the air?
Yeah. Big up everyone in the UK and that, you know, it's like taking the time to listen to someone from somewhere else. And like, you know, I really love being part of this, you know, like I was saying, I grew up listening to so much UK music and pop, so I feel like incredibly lucky to be able to contribute and be a part of this, you know, this UK hip hop history and the present, you know. So shout out to like Slips for all these Don Verbs and like all these people that encouraged me along the way. And like, yeah, I hope to connect with more and more people in the UK. So big up.
That's hard, man. All right. Yeah. Big up, man. It's much appreciated. The music is sick. Go out there, check the new EP out, which is called
A Scenic Glitch.
Scenic Glitch. There we go. Sorry about that. But yeah, cool. We out, yeah?
Yeah.
Peace, man. Dialect. Peace, yeah?
Peace.